right, you're on the Armstrong Show with Glenn.
And Drew.
And Daryl.
And Gabe.
Thanks to all of our patrons for continuing to support the show and supporting the other things they were able to do in our communities and in yours. Thanks to your support, like our Stop the Bleed programs, our safety and security for schools, churches, things like that. Wouldn't be able to do that without you guys, and we appreciate your contributions to making sure communities are better and safer places to be. If you're not a patron, become a fucking patron. Our top tier is 10 bucks. Don't be cheap. All right. Alumni event coming up April 9th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. in Glendale, Arizona. 20 bucks, really inexpensive. We've only have enough room for 40 people. It's going to be at a gym with our physical therapist, Dr. Kyle, who we've had on the show from Cornerstone Physical Therapy. Walking everybody and working with everybody through mobility increasing, strength training improvement, and helping you to establish what a good workout routine looks like. Also introducing you to some of the services that he offers through his office and through the gym. So a great opportunity to come learn from a professional in mobility and strength conditioning. 20 bucks. It's a great freaking way to come out and learn. You don't have to be in shape or anything like that. It's just to come out and learn how to get in shape, how to increase your mobility, how to increase your strength. Relatively low expense here, 20 bucks. So make sure you guys go on our website, trainingaz.com, and get signed up. Go down to the online store, hit special courses and events, and I think it's like the first one that pops up. So make sure you get on it because there's only 40 people, and enrollment is absolutely required. You can't do the last-minute thing because we have to know how many people are showing up, all right? Oh, man, what we got here? News. Ah, the news. One of our great stories we were laughing pretty hard about earlier. Spanish soldiers are changing their gender to female for added benefits and higher pay, saying, and I quote, "On the inside, I am a lesbian." This guy, we got to read you the story about this dude, okay? So this guy, Corporal Roberto Paredgonis? I don't know how to pronounce his name. But this guy is a fucking hero, all right? Here's his quotations he's making. I love him. "On the outside, I feel like a heterosexual man. But on the inside, I'm a lesbian." And it's the latter that counts. "This is why I made the legal change to become a woman." Now, it gets better. This guy has got this fucking system figured out, all right? He says he was encouraged to change his gender because of positive discrimination and has since received a 15% salary increase. He got more money to change his fucking gender. "For changing my gender, I've been told that my pension has gone up because women get more to compensate for inequality." So not only is his pay gone up, but also his pension has gone up. The soldier is also looking – now, here's a real gold gem. The soldier is looking to use his additional privilege as a woman to sue for shared custody of his 16-year-old son. He's hitting every angle on this. Now, he changed his gender last year, and when he arrived at the barracks, he did so with hair too long to meet male requirements and some earrings, which the Spanish military prohibits men from wearing. He was even given a personal bathroom. Now, here's a quote that this guy, this is how you know he's nailing it, right? "I even have a private room in the barracks all to myself with a private bathroom. This is because I cannot be with men as I am a woman, and I do not consider it appropriate to be with biological women out of respect for them." This fucking guy has absolutely hit every angle.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Oh, my God.
That shit's funny as hell.
Fucking love it, dude. Pay increase, pension increase, probably benefits of getting custody of his boy. His own private bathroom.
Own room in the
and
breaks.
Bedroom.
Long hair, earrings.
Long hair, earrings.
What more can a guy
can't
ask
say shit, dude. Hey, he's like, "Look, I'm a heterosexual on the outside, all right? I ain't no faggot, all right? On the inside. I love women.
I really think women
are beautiful. Really? I'm a lesbian on the inside. Dude, talk about winning. Like, this is how winning is done. This guy is now going to become, he's going to stay a man, but on the inside, he loves women. Yeah.
Which just, again, like, good for him for exploiting the system.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show how fucking stupid it
absolutely
is.
Absolutely fucking retarded.
You know what I mean?
Oh, in a nonstop hilarity from the constant retardation coming out of Canada, Toronto police gives advice on auto theft. Just, and I quote, leave your keys out. Toronto police have given advice to residents worried about the city's spiraling auto theft problem. Just let thieves steal your car by giving them the keys. There's actually a video of their police chief being absolutely fucking retarded, literally telling people that, well, the problem is you don't want them to come too far in the home, so if you leave them by the front door, leave them outside the front door even, then they'll just steal the car, and then they won't hurt you. Here's what he said. Police service constable Dumbass McDumbass said, to prevent the possibility of being attacked in your home, leave your key fobs at your front door because they're breaking into your home just to steal your car. They don't want anything else.
It's a lot of assumption for someone committing a crime.
Guns are illegal. Criminals have them. Also, give criminals your keys. Fucking insane. How the fuck, like, when people live in places like that, I'm like, you deserve everything you get.
Canada is such a
you deserve everything you fucking get.
Shithole.
Whatever happens next, you fucking deserve it. You and your fucking idiot Trudeau. You guys deserve everything you fucking get. Who's now trying to imprison people for hate speech, I might add.
Yeah.
Where'd you say this? Toronto, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can see the people in Yukon territory doing that. Bunch of old moose hunters up there.
Yeah. You know? They're like, yeah, hey man, door's open. Come on in. Yeah. Keys are just inside. Ba-boom!
Yes. Right inside the doorway.
Right inside the doorway. I don't know, man. He looked like a moose to me. He came through his dark shadows. We just buried him out back. Faulty USA drop kills at least 5 Palestinians in Gaza City. At least 5 Palestinians were killed and one another wounded after a faulty aid drop in Gaza. The casualties occurred following a botched attempt to drop humanitarian assistance from a plane, which ended up landing in a residential area. We were talking offline about the hilarity of, you know, watching different drops over the years just fucking candlestick up and spiral to the ground.
It turns out that shit's fucking heavy.
Yeah, and it's hard, you know? Yeah, a lot of people took cover in a construction site. One of the packages fell atop the site, causing it to collapse, killing and wounding some people inside. I rushed to help the people inside when I realized my cousin was among them. He is now dead. That's very sad. It's very sad, but it's also like, I don't know. I just don't care.
Yeah.
I don't want to give these people aid if it came from my dollars. So if it fucking is killing them, you're welcome for the free stuff. Can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs, I guess.
Greetings from America.
It's hard for me to give a shit. I don't hate Israeli people.
No, I don't hate Israel. Care.
I just don't fucking care about anybody else anymore. Yeah. I'm so tired of my government giving away all my fucking money while taxing me to death here at home and then literally using that money to go fucking give it away. And just give it away. Just give it away. And all that happens is the money ends up in the hands of greedy fuckers and idiots who can't airdrop properly. I don't want to fucking do it anymore.
You know what else is fucking stupid with that specific conflict? Is like, what's up with like all these little cities having a ceasefire conference and all these people going into them and be like, oh yeah, good job. What does that fucking do? Oh, your city said unanimously, yes, there should be a ceasefire. Like they did one in East Tucson.
Yeah.
And I saw a video of it and there's all these people in like the fucking whatever building it was.
People who've never even been to Israel probably.
Yeah, like.
Yeah.
Fucking crying and shit. I'm like, what do you think? Do you think, oh, magically now the war just stopped? Yes, Sarah, good job.
They
like,
did one in East Tucson?
Yeah.
East Tucson is Yuppieville, man.
Yeah, that's where they did it.
Well, thank God they stopped the war just like that.
Yeah.
Maybe they should have a ceasefire in South Tucson.
Yeah, that's what
like,
they should
that would be
yeah.
an actual ceasefire between all the gangbangers.
You know? Oh, fucking tweakers.
It's just slacktivism at its finest. I mean, ultimately, that's what it is. It's absolute fucking slacktivism at its finest. It's them pretending to do something without actually accomplishing anything. Then they can go tell everyone on their Facebook or whatever, look what I did. Look what I'm a part of. Hooray. What was the one thing? Remember when they did the yoga demonstration? Remember that?
Oh, my God.
Wasn't that to create a ceasefire in Israel?
The yoga fucking...
A whole bunch of people got together on like a New York pier and did yoga to...
What?
To me, it's like cancer walks. Well, like, dude, cancer ain't stopping because you went up for a walk.
Well, having the pictures of people killed by Hamas, or was it the other way around? I don't fucking
care. Whatever it was, yeah.
Taped to them with like fucking scotch tape. You're fucking stupid.
How is this? Dude, you're somewhere your grandfather's so fucking disappointed.
I bet probably not, because your grandfather's probably a fucking retard.
Everyone was probably more horrified by most of those women in yoga pants.
Yes, that's what I'm like, whoa, hey, look, whoa. If I was Tomas, I'd be like, well, time out. Hold on a second. We'll stop. If you stop doing this.
We're done.
If you could get fat chicks to stop wearing yoga pants, look, peace. Peace on earth. Peace in the Middle East. Whatever it fucking takes. All right? Just get these fat chicks to stop wearing fucking yoga pants. Please.
That and I love
what does it take?
Queers for Palestine.
What?
That's the thing.
How do these lines intersect?
I was driving the other day behind a fucking powder blue Prius with a gay pride flag and a Save Palestine sticker on it.
Yo, yeah, go over there. Like,
try it. Go
on a plane and
see
go
how
over
that
there.
Goes for you.
Get on over there.
In fact, I'll pay you a one-way ticket. I just want to see this.
Get massive on over there, man. I'm like, how fucking delusion? Yeah. How delusional are these fucking Berkeley kids that they're like, dude. Queers for Palestine? Like, motherfucker, they'll be like, oh, you want to see the best place to view Palestine? From the top of this roof over here. Like the view is beautiful. You guys would love it. Thank
you guys
so
would
much
love
for
it.
Coming.
Come over here. Adios.
And as soon as they get up there, like, just stand right up to the edge.
Look closer. Look closer.
You just got to take in the whole experience.
Yeah.
Push.
Yeah, adios.
Free Palestine.
Like that fucking kid that lit himself on fire.
Yeah. Same thing. Fucking totally same thing.
Dumbass.
Yeah.
It's good. One less fucking retard. Medium rare retard.
Thank God for that. Oh, my Lord. All right. What else do we have for news here? Oh, positive story. This is a feel-good story. Feel-good story. You guys ready? Here we go. New York subway rider who shot assailant with his own gun won't face charges. So to sum the story up easily, basically this one guy gets on board and the subway. Now, he doesn't pay. This is an important part of the story. He doesn't pay, so He goes on the thing, onto the train, and this is actually a really good story here. Because here's some really interesting quotes about this. This guy's last name is Robinson, all right? And so Robinson's estranged wife, Lisa, said she dumped him last year over his behavior. Last couple of months, he just got aggressive with me. She didn't say hello, so he threw something at the TV. And, oh, he only gets aggressive when he's been drinking. Now his behavior has given...
Are you okay?
I didn't read this earlier.
Apparently not.
Okay.
Can you ready for this? Breathe?
Okay, do you remember where he got shot?
Face.
And?
Chest.
And? Remember where did he get stabbed?
In the back.
Okay. But now his behavior is giving him problems in his lower back, neck, temple, eye, and chest.
Huh. Okay.
That was her quote.
What a great fucking quote.
I mean, she's not wrong.
She's not wrong. Review of subway system video shows Robinson entered the station without paying. If you want to keep the system safe, the first thing you have to do is keep black people, bad people out of the system who don't pay. Was that a Freudian slip? Sorry about that. This is a perfect example to talk about it, New York PD Deputy Inspector Tarek Shepard said on Friday. Hey, how about this? How about if you have a criminal and they make a crime, you fucking correct their behavior? Now, that's what this guy's actually saying. If you want to keep the system safe, first thing you have to do is keep people out who don't pay. Yeah. It's a pay-to-play system. You don't pay to ride, you don't fucking ride. You should get your head held on the fucking tracks while the subway runs over it. That should be the punishment for, like, all the things. If you don't start making punishment so goddamn severe that nobody wants to fucking break the rules, then people are just going to keep breaking the rules, as evidenced by this. Now, this guy gets on, Robinson gets on the fucking subway, and he – and I'm sorry. You see his mugshot? He just – the dude just fits every fucking profile. Yeah. He fits every motherfucking profile. Just looking at the dude – he just looks like that dude that's going to give you a hard fucking time on the subway. He gets up and starts yelling at these quote-unquote Latino people. And this Latino guy's name is Yunesi Abuad. Abuad. I don't know if you know this, but that's not like super immigrant Latino, all right? Like you said, maybe fucking from the DR or whatever.
Yeah.
So anyways, he gets on and he starts yelling at these people, just hate-filled fucking shit. I'll beat you up. Fuck you. Fuck your kind. Fuck your race. Do something about it. He's yelling at me because he has an anti-migrant bias. Now, here's the funny thing. The Robinson is yelling at this Unesi if I'm saying his name right, about you think you're going to beat up cops, referencing the video where those cops got beat up by that migrant, right? So the dude illegally is on the train, and he's upset about migrants being illegally in America. The fucking intersecting lines are goddamn hilarious, all right? So then the video begins. This guy's yelling at this couple. Eventually, after like a minute and a half of this horse shit, the guy stands up and is like, hey, fucking enough's enough, right? They tassel for him, and neither one of them knows how to fight. It's pretty painful to watch the fight.
Oh, they square, and he takes off his coat and sets it down.
Yeah, it's fun. Really awful to fucking watch this fight because it's not a very good fight. And then eventually, Robinson ends up on top of this UNESCO guy, and then his girlfriend runs over and stabs dude twice in the back. Now, the unsung hero of the story might be the girlfriend who didn't fucking abandon her man. You know what I mean? Like, she didn't fucking run away. She fucking pulled out a sticker and fucking stuck this motherfucker.
Like kidney stuff.
Dude, she gave him a couple good fucking back and kidney hits.
Yeah.
Now, didn't look like a very big blade. She didn't fucking stay with the cause. She probably could have done more damage if she really stuck in the fight. But, hey, man, at least she stuck him a couple times. That's enough to get him off of the guy. Another guy shows up, helps him to, you know, helps to separate the two. And then it takes about 30 seconds for what happens next. Robinson then moves to his coat and is like, hey, you're going to stab me, you're going to stab me, all this kind of shit. He pulls out a fucking gun. Now, it takes him about 30 seconds or so to get the gun out of the coat, which is a good lesson of like, hey, man, if you happen to end a fight, now they're stuck in a fucking subway tube, right? So there's nothing they can do because they're stuck on a fucking subway train. But a good lesson to take away from this is if you can end a fight, you should fucking leave the situation because if you stick around, just because someone's done right now doesn't mean they're done forever. So this guy starts getting lippy, and he's not acting very aggressive, but he's definitely getting something out of his jacket. He's unzipping all the pockets, looking. Eventually, he pulls out the gun, and pow, he fucking racks it, and he's going to use the gun. Everybody fucking runs away, all right? And you don't see what happens next on the cell phone footage. But what does happen next is UNESCO's got a fucking at absolutely his limit of this bullshit. He grabs the fucking gun away from the dude and he punches him fucking twice, once through the neck and another time through his fucking temple, which then blows out his fucking eyeball. So the guy is stable right now, but he's all fucked up for the rest of his life. So a couple things here. One, you don't know how you don't know how far someone else is willing to go or how fast they're willing to get there. In both of these sides, everybody learned, right? Two, don't be a fucking dick or you're going to get treated like a dick, all right? Someone's going to fucking beat you. Three, definitely fucking stay away from New York City because it's an absolute fucking thriving shithole of shitheads, you know? And four, if you end a fight, get the fuck out of there, if you can. These guys were stuck in a subway tube, so there's not much they can do about that.
I'd add to that. We always say it all the time, but you don't have to be a ninja to take a gun out of somebody's hand.
No.
That guy probably, I'm going to say 99.9% wasn't trained at fucking all.
Just had a gun.
And no, I'm talking about the guy that took it out of his hands.
Oh, either one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Probably entangled.
Yeah, and so like you don't need to be a fucking ninja to get the gun out of somebody's hands. And that, you know, whether it's someone trying to take it out of yours or you trying to take it out of somebody's.
That's it. Yeah, because more than likely they don't have a very good fucking hold on it or a very good control over it. So there you go. All right, what's our other news here? That's it for the news. We're actually onto the topic.
Amazing. Wow, we're only 18 minutes in. We're doing good.
Sorry, man. I used up the news that we had and we want to talk about. Independence training gear moment. Smaller guns are only smaller. That's it. That's the only benefit that smaller guns have. Stop buying tiny little fucking guns. First of all, don't buy tiny guns for your ladies. They don't like shooting them. You want to know how? I know. Because I then have to train them, and they fucking hate the goddamn things, all right? So fucking stop buying them. Just stop buying guns for your ladies, unless you know exactly what they want. I'll buy guns for Drew because Drew says, I want this gun. So then I get the gun that she wants. I do not fucking guess, presume, or assume what she may or may not want. Because I don't know. I'm not her. She knows what she wants, not me. Stop buying them for yourself unless you absolutely must. If you must carry a tiny gun, then carry a tiny gun. But don't go to that. Remember, small guns, limited ammunition capacity, small size, hard to hold on to, usually poor sight radius, sometimes poor sights, shorter barrels, less margin of error, less recoil management. Literally the only benefit to a small gun is that it's smaller and easier to conceal. There's no other benefit to it.
Less than great fundamentals cause malfunctions.
And the biggest problem that we have is when people have poor fundamentals. It's not like some of the problems we were talking about on the last show. And we have more malfunctions in smaller guns because you cannot have a shitty grip. You cannot have a weak position. You cannot have a poorly maintained pistol. You cannot have any of those things and expect a small gun to work. It has to be properly maintained. It has to be held onto properly. It has to have a good stable platform behind it. or it's not going to fucking work. So small guns, the only benefit to small guns is that they're small. No other benefit to them. So if you don't have to carry one, don't fucking carry one. If you do have to carry one, train with it effectively and appropriately. Independence Training Moment brought to you by TrainingAZ.com. All right, on our topic, hot weather prep. It's been warmer here. I know it's getting warmer slowly everywhere else in the country. It always gets hot here in Arizona fast, but it's definitely getting warm everywhere else. So here's some hot weather prep ideas we're all going to kind of bounce around here. First and foremost, I'm going to go for self, all right? Self-preparation, and that means your fitness. Understand that you are going to be less capable of doing physical activities outdoors the hotter it gets. There's like a mathematical equation for everything, right? And even with running, we know that in hot weather, it affects our runtime. You know, I know Drew knows the calculation, whatever, but it's like for every 10 degrees, it's like 30 seconds or something, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like if for every 10 degrees hotter it is. So if you run at, let's say, 60 degrees and you're running an 8-minute mile, and then you go run at 90 degrees and you're running a 9.5-minute mile, don't be surprised by that. All right. Hot fucking weather fucks you up, right? I'm not saying that's an exact calculation, but I'm saying it's going to fucking affect you. So make sure that you're starting to prep yourself. Get outside and start acclimating to the weather as it changes. If you're used to 60, 70 degree winter weather, and then you're going to, especially here in Arizona, you're going to hang out inside mostly. You're like, oh, it's getting hot or whatever. And then in 3 months when it's over 100 degrees, you're going to be like, I'm going to go for a fucking hike today. And you have not been prepping for that. You're about to get fucked up. The part of the reason it's so easy for us to work in the outdoors is because we're out in it all the time. And so as the seasons change, we acclimate. When it's colder, it's not as cold to us. When it's hotter, it's not as hot to us because our bodies have been acclimating because we're outside all the time. That's why construction workers do so great in the outdoors because they're out there all the fucking time. And so their bodies are acclimating to that pressure change and to the temperature change and all that. You've got to do the same thing or you're not going to be ready. So get out there and start doing, you know, evening walks or morning walks. Just get out there and start getting active. Get your fitness levels ready. Even if you're just walking around your neighborhood for a mile or two, get out there and start letting your body acclimate to the weather as it changes so that when it's really hot, you're not trying to go out and do something. You're just getting absolutely wrecked. Next thing kind of about self to an extent, I would say, is go ahead and go through your clothing and make sure that you have the appropriate clothing for the upcoming season. This is more important as things are getting colder or wetter or whatever, because you got to make sure you have the right gear that fits you and isn't torn and all that. But start looking at the types of things you're going to be using in the summertime, whether it's going to be full, you know, covering or your freaking, you know, bathing suit the whole time. Make sure things fit. Make sure that things are in good working order. Make sure you got, you know, the right shoes or whatever it is that you're going to wear. This is, again, more important, I think, for, you know, the colder times or the wetter times. But even for summertime, make sure you have that. Get your old, you know, winter stuff, whatever. Start kind of packing that away. Get it put away. Conveniently available just in case, but put away. And then start bringing out, you know, your hot weather gear and making sure that everything fits and functions and,
well,
and
all that. Well, I'll hit this too. In the outdoors, hiking, things like that, summer clothes do not necessarily mean tank tops and shorty shorts.
No.
Or cotton.
Yeah. Look at what the freaking people in the desert wear, the Bedouins, people like that. It's long, flowy, long sleeve. Mm-hmm. Loose, so when you sweat, it creates a microclimate under that fabric.
Yeah.
And the air comes in and cools you via convection.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would look at some good long sleeves, something in UFP 50 or UFP 35.
There's some great stuff, super lightweight.
Yeah, it's super lightweight, breathable stuff.
Yep.
And it literally bounces the sun back off you, and it makes a huge fucking difference. Mm. It really, at least for me personally, I can feel the difference where, you know, under like a regular long sleeve, my skin starts to get hot. When I'm wearing UFP stuff, it delays that a lot.
Yeah,
and I like lightweight closed toe shoes. Everyone's wearing their little flip flops and everything. What if you have to run?
Mm.
Yeah,
and you kick those things off, and now you've got third degree burns on the bottom of your feet.
Yeah.
So yeah, whatever kind of clothing it's going to be, even if it's going to be like, you know, we mostly when we're training in the summertime, people are like, man, you guys are out here in pants and long sleeves and hoods, and it's like, yeah, because if you keep the sun off, it turns out pretty fucking beneficial. So yes, that is exactly what we want. Next on the list after that is going to be things like Let's see what's next. Family, right? The people around you. You know, how we're preparing your family to be ready for the summertime. Don't just forget about yourself. And this may be your roommates or maybe your friends or maybe your kids or your wife or whoever, but start getting them out and acclimating them. Start making sure they're staying more hydrated. Make sure that you're carrying their water with them. You know, we have a rule definitely in the summertime as it gets hotter with the kids. Like, you don't leave the house without your water bottle. We literally go for a walk, go for a bike ride, get in the car, and it's like, who has their water bottle? You don't have your water bottle, you go back inside and you get your freaking water bottle. Make sure it's filled up with water. That's an important part for kids. You got to make sure it's fucking filled up with water. They will absolutely 100% fucking just bring a goddamn empty water bottle. So
10 out of 10 times.
You got to be like, hey, is it filled with water? Oh, I forgot. You forgot to put water in the water bottle? It's literally what it's for. Get your ass back in there. So, you know, make sure that your family's getting prepared as well. That way, when you go out and recreate, they can join you. And so that they are more prepared to go play on the playground at school and go do all that kind of stuff. So make sure that you're preparing your family with all the other stuff that we're about to talk about. But for the time being, at least with their fitness and acclimation, as well as, you know, their clothing and appropriate gear. You know, now's a good time to fit your kids for bathing suits and making sure that the, you know, the next upcoming season here, you're ready to go swimming, want to go hit the lake, whatever. You're not trying to make some last minute stop and getting them some shitty swimsuit that you don't really like or they don't really like or whatever, because it's all that this freaking store has. So make sure that, you know, now's a good time. It's a good time to get out there and buy a lot of these winter clothes, or sorry, summer clothes that we're talking about, because as those things start to come out, they're in plentiful supply. And, you know, in the middle of summer, everyone's running the stores and buying all this shit. So make sure that you're buying it now when everything's amply in stock. Same thing with, you know, what you're getting for your family. Yeah. Make sure that they're ready.
I bought, like, all my UFP stuff, you know, long sleeves and the pullovers and stuff like that in the wintertime because they're fucking everywhere and they're on sale. As soon as summer rolls around, all that stuff is going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be gone for sure.
Mm-hmm. So let me see here. What's my next one? So kind of included in family would be things like your vehicle, right? Because you got to make sure, especially if you have kids, you have a spouse, you have, you know, friends, family, whatever you might share a domicile with, share a vehicle with, you got to make sure you start getting your vehicle. Again, getting it done now, preemptive, preventative maintenance is always best. Go have your air conditioned service serviced now. At least have it looked at. Take it down to the mechanic. Hey, I just want you to look at this thing. Because if you wait until the middle of summer when everyone's shit's going out, they're going to be like, yeah, dude, I can get you in 2 fucking weeks. I can get you in a month, whatever. I mean, I remember one of our kind of associates runs a AC business. And there was a time, I remember last summer, when they were how far backed up were they? Like 2 months or something like that. You remember that?
Yeah.
It was fucking crazy.
It's like summer will be over by the time you get here.
Yeah, they're like, exactly. Literally, you're we're not even going to probably get to you. Like, we are running 24-7. We're buying new trucks. We're hiring new people. We're doing everything we fucking can, and we still can't keep up with all the calls.
Yep.
So important, you know, for your vehicle to make sure that you're getting your fluids changed out. Get your oil change done now, you know, preventative. Okay, so it's 1,000 miles early. So fucking be it. Go get all that shit done now.
Check your windshield so they don't splinter if you have little cracks, because that's the worst.
Make sure coolant is topped off.
Yeah, make sure your cracks are filled in your windshield. Make sure your coolant is topped off. Make sure that everything that you need is ready to go. Check your tires. Get them rotated. Get them balanced. Get your, you know, alignments done. Do everything you can to make sure that, you know, tires coming apart in the heat. It's like we see that shit all fucking summer long. People's tires fucking blowing apart in the heat. There's tire chunks all over the damn freeway. There's people constantly pulled over with fucked up tires on the side of the road. All that shit could have been prevented more than likely. Sometimes you have crazy mechanical malfunctions, but for the most part, that shit could be 100% be avoided if you just checked it beforehand. So make sure that you check it beforehand, all right? So also with vehicles, look inside the vehicle. If you don't normally store extra water, it's a good time to take some extra water. If it's been a while since you rotated that water, rotate that water, right? Pour the old shit on a plant, put new shit, you know, in your truck, stock some, you know, fresh water in there. Make sure that you're rotating through those supplies. Rotate through, you know, check your battery charger. You know, you have a dead battery in the middle of the summertime, another common issue because the heat kills fucking batteries, and now you're stranded somewhere and it's 110 degrees or whatever, and you got a dead battery and no way to freaking have air conditioning. You know, so make sure that you check your battery charger. You know, anything that you can do right now to make sure that your vehicle is going to keep running. And then on the inside, again, check out your supplies and make sure you've got those supplies absolutely, you know, ready to go.
So a few things with vehicle supplies. Do you have a barrier for the ground?
Mm-hmm.
Should you have to change a tire or do something? I use a Z-Fold sleeping mat.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have some overhead cover? Just get a giant-ass umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
15 degrees cooler immediately.
Yep.
Do you have water and do you have closed-toed shoes stored in your vehicle? And in Arizona, good luck with those closed-toed shoes. They may melt.
Yeah. Heads up.
But if you wear flip-flops everywhere and you need to get out and do something in your vehicle, you're going to want that so you don't be burning your feet, you know?
At least if you are going to wear flip-flops, wear good quality flip-flops that aren't going to break pretty easily.
But think about the survival priorities on shelter. This applies when you're working on your vehicle in the summer is something to be on, something to be under, something to be in. Mm-hmm. You should already be wearing appropriate clothes. Have the under and over.
Yeah, good set of rubber mats in your trucks, great to get on. Yep. You know, a simple, basic $20 umbrella stored under your seat collapses up nice and small and do wonders for just keeping the damn heat off you. Sometimes just keeping that sun off you can make all the difference in the world.
I would add to that, too, with the water stuff. You got to have just a little bit of food.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'd have all the water in the world, and you're not going to retain any of that hydration if you don't have some food to go along with it. You know, that's how we actually get all of our stuff we need from water is through digestion. And if we don't have anything to digest, it's pretty pointless. So if you keep like dry good food or something like that in your car, probably switch it out before summertime or change it.
Mm.
You can't get away with the same kind of stuff you can in the, quote, wintertime here as far as food storage goes in a vehicle because it's just going to start baking. So.
Well, you can always just stick a tray of cookies in there and cook them.
Yeah, you could always just
seen
that
done.
Yeah.
You always do that.
Yeah.
So also consider other, you know, we talked about heat killing batteries in your vehicle. So also consider it's going to kill batteries and everything else. That includes your battery charger, extra batteries that you keep in there. You know, you got your backup flashlight in there with your backup batteries. And now the batteries are dead because they've been through several seasons of hot and cold temperature swings, which tend to, you know, do the works on batteries. So also be checking all your sensitive electronics. You have a garage or a shed or something like that where it's going to be exposed to uncontrolled climate conditions, make sure that you're checking that. Check your battery backups. If you don't have battery backups for your house, you know, check your generator that you might need to run your house. That's a huge part here in Arizona. Like, I have our house wired so that we can literally throw the main power, turn it off from the freaking grid, plug in a big giant fucking diesel generator and run at least, you know, the majority, really, honestly, all of our appliances in the house can pretty much be run off this one generator. And so it's like, now, God forbid, we have a problem where the power's out for a day or two. Not the end of the world, just a natural disaster or something like that.
Which is, I can still run it. Arizona. Mm-hmm.
We get power outages here.
Yeah, the heat.
Because we do so much work for the utility companies here, we are unfortunately too aware of how fragile our power grid is. Our power grid, like, I've talked to a lot of people over the years who work for a very specific utility company that we do all the fucking training for, and holy shit, those guys are like, dude, the power grid is like super fucking fragile here, super fragile. And so all it takes is a little bit of an outage somewhere, and man, you could be out of power for a day or two. And when it's 110, 115 degrees, that could be death for you, maybe death for your animals or, you know, your elderly parents or your, you know, handicapped kid or whatever. Like, anyone who's already kind of fragile is definitely going to be very negatively affected by incredible temperature swings. So bless you. So the ability to potentially hook up your, you know, house or business or whatever to a generator so that you can keep that thing running, that's huge. I mean, if our power goes out, we got a whole freezer full of meat we're going to lose potentially. We're going to, you know, lose our freaking other freezer and fridge inside the house. You know, animals and pets that are going to be suffering, kids, us, we're going to be suffering. It's going to be a lot to try to manage that. So, you know, be definitely considering. Look at getting other types of electronics. Bless you twice.
Thank you.
Be considering things like, you know, mobile big fans and mobile air conditioning units so that at the very least, like, we keep two of those things just for the chance that the power goes out. At least I can cool off one big room. You know, so it's like everyone's going to congregate in this room and we're going to cool off this big room because the main air conditioner is toast. Because, yeah, if you've ever tried to buy a fan from like the Home Depot or whatever in the middle of the summertime and you go there, there's like three, you know, and they may not be the ones you want. So good time now to get some fans, get those mobile AC units, install those ceiling fans, like whatever electronic type or electrical run things you can think of that might be beneficial to you. It's a good time to make that upgrade. Now, if you've been thinking about switching your ceiling fans, do it now. Don't wait until, you know, you're picking from the shit you don't want because it's everyone else's leftovers. So get on top of that right now. Look at batteries. Look at your battery backup systems. You know, I've got a big battery powered generator that I use for like when we're traveling and camping and going out of country and stuff like that. It stays in the garage. So it's going to be affected by big temperature swings. Make sure it's charged up. Make sure it's staying charged up. You know, it's a good time to start looking at all those electronics that are exposed to a lot of heat or that help you keep the heat down. So be sure to take a minute to check those things. And that kind of brings us to like general appliances. You know, we talked about already getting, you know, preemptive preventative maintenance. I cannot stress enough calling whatever AC air conditioning company you use and getting them out to your house to check on things. You've got to do that preventative maintenance. That will keep you from suffering through the wintertime or summertime, I mean. And I would ask your guy, like when you call him out, ask him about dumb little shit. Like once upon a time, years and years ago, come home from work, house is like 110 degrees. It's so fucking hot. Air conditioner's gone out in the middle of the day. Holy shit, it's hot. They can't call the air. They're like, yeah, we can be out there tomorrow. I'm like, fuck this. Like I'm literally going to go to a hotel. Do some reading up on the thing. Find out it takes this dumb little like 5-amp fuse that just runs the control panel that tells the air conditioning unit when to kick on and off. Climb up in the attic. It's a bajillion fucking degrees up there. I'm sweating my fucking ass off. Pull out the fuse. Sure enough, it's dead. I'm like, okay, no problem. I'm going to the hardware store. This is one of those weird ones where no fucking hardware store, no automotive store, nobody has this fucking fuse. Luckily, had a buddy, has a ridiculous amount of tools and shit, and I'm like, yo, dude, do you by any chance have this kind of fuse? And he's like, yeah, I got like three of them because my air conditioning unit uses them. And I'm like, oh my God, that's what I fucking need it for. And he was like, yeah, dude, you fucking stock up on these motherfuckers. They're like a nickel, you know? And I'm like, oh shit, dude. So ran over to his house, grabbed them, went in, boom, plugged in the fuse, air conditioner kicked right in. It's like a nickel fucking solution. You're damn right. I bought like 20 of those fucking fuses for $2. You know what I mean? And just kept them in the toolbox because it could be as simple as that. So ask your, you know, maintenance people, your air conditioning guy or whatever, hey, is there something that might break on this thing that I could fix? You don't have to crawl up there with the ladder and do kind of magic voodoo shit. Is there something that's just really stupid that I could fix that might need to happen here? Is there something I could do to my unit to make it more efficient? Is it a good time to upgrade? Should I change the pump? Like, what's preventative? You know, we asked that to our guy a couple of years ago, and he's like, well, yeah, you know, I mean, these lines are fine, but, you know, we could change them. You know, it's like $50. Like, yeah, fucking do that. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to be 6 months from now and those fucking lines corrode and get shitty, and now we got to replace them in June. Like, if I'm doing this in March, fucking do it, man.
And make sure that you're changing out your air filters, too, because that's super huge. Important, mm-hmm. Especially because we're so dusty out here.
Yeah, absolutely huge.
And dog hair. If you have a dog that sheds plus the dust, I mean,
we change. We have the three-month ones, and we change about every month.
Every month we change them.
And when you're talking about climate control, don't make it wintertime in the summer. It's about the acclimatization thing, right? God, I can't even speak. Don't make it freaking 60 degrees when it's 120 outside. If you can stand a little hotter, if you can do 75, 80 in your house and be just fine, number one, it's not taxing your equipment that hard, and it's acclimatizing you as well.
Yeah, yeah. And that's important because I actually kind of learned that a friend of mine years ago was telling me, we were just talking, and he was like, yeah, man, at home, he's like, sometimes during the summertime, like my wife and I, you know, we'll sleep out on the patio and stuff. I'm like, how the fuck do you sleep on your patio in the summer? He's like, before it gets crazy hot. You know, he's like, but we'll sleep out on the patio. You know, we have a cool little bed on the patio and stuff. We'll sleep out there. And I'm like, gross, dude. And he's like, no. He's like, do you know what the inside of my house is? And he's like, it's fucking 80 in here. What? I'm like, fuck that. He's like, no, man, that's like my people. He's like multi-generations back from like Southwest, you know, Hispanic and stuff. And he's like, yeah, dude. He's like, my kids, to them, this is normal. They're just used to it being warm. And so consequently, he's like, we're not just sitting around sweating in our house all the time because we're acclimated to, our body is acclimated to the heat. So yeah, it's a little bit cooler in there than it is outside, obviously. He's like, but it's not much, man. He's like, we learn from my heritage, from my people. I've learned how to utilize modern technology to my advantage for sure, but also how to stay acclimated. I'm like, fuck, dude, that's nuts, right? But it makes sense. And that's – we see that here, especially people run from air conditioning building to air conditioning car to air conditioning building to air conditioning car to air conditioning building. And all they do is just stay air conditioned all the time. It's like, dude, your body is never going to get acclimated. And then you are shocking your body. You're jumping out of 68 degrees in your car into 115, racing to the fucking building, which is 70 degrees. You know, and then you go back outside, it's 115 or whatever, and you jump back in your 68-degree car. And it's like at some point in time, like I have definitely started during the summertime over the last few years since having that conversation with Mark. I've really been trying to, you know, not blast my air conditioning ice cold. You know, like I'll use it ice cold at first to cool off the inside of the cab because it's 150 degrees in there when you first hop in. But then once it kind of starts to stabilize, I try to keep it about, you know, 75 in there. Try to be reasonable.
We usually keep our house about 75. Glenn's about to be that dad who puts a lock on our thermostat. We've come home and it's been like 66 degrees in the house before.
Oh my God.
And Glenn almost like fucking.
I'm like, who the fuck is touching my thermostat? This is real hot, Dad. So we just turned it down a little. A little?
You just upped the electric bill by $200.
Well, not even that. Like, we came home and we were just at training. So we'd been all day on the range. We come home and it's like an ice box in there. And we were like, what the fuck? Well, our oldest son was like, yeah, it was just really hot.
I mean, it's good to go like sauna to ice bath short term for health reasons.
For health thing.
But not like all day.
Why, you're like freezing to death. I'm like, man, it's cold in here, man.
So Glenn's about to put one of those lock boxes on our thermostat so that little kids can't change it anymore.
No. That's a problem with the digital ones. See, the old school ones that had like a mechanical slide, you just like jam a fucking nail in there and no one could go past a certain point, you know? But now you've got the digital ones where, I'm going to have to put like a password on it or something. Yeah. Or just disconnect it, right? Just take it off, set it to what you want, disconnect it. There you go.
Because ours, we keep our house, we hardly ran our heater. Actually, I don't even think our heater really kicked on this year. We keep it pretty cold
barely fucking ran the heater this year. It was crazy.
In the summertime, our thing is set to 75.
Same applies for winter. Run a bit cold in the winter.
Yeah, that's what we always do. We keep it, I think it's like 67, 66 in the wintertime.
Yeah.
That's what we keep ours
at. Save you money, too.
And it's like, get a blanket or a sweater. Mm-hmm. Put socks on.
So another point then is, we talked about a lot of mechanical stuff, electronic stuff. We talked a little bit about this with your vehicles, but your overall water storage. Like, water is life, of course, and you've got to make sure you're rotating through your water storage. It's something I need to do. We've got one of our blue jugs on the back porch definitely needs to be fucking rotated.
Yeah.
Make sure you're rotating it, you're treating it, you're not growing a bunch of bacteria and a bunch of nasty shit in there. Dry out your containers, refill them with water, treat them with the appropriate amount of bleach or whatever other treatment you use, and really look at making sure that your water storage is good to go. You should have a minimum of 2 gallons per person per day of what you expect to have to use. So even a 50-gallon barrel, you know, if you're looking at 2 gallons per person per day, if you're like us, you got a bunch of people in the house, a thing like that, that doesn't even last us a week of water, you know? So also consider getting your water purification methods. If you've got to collect rainwater or fucking canal water or pool water or whatever it is that you may need to collect in order to supplement water. And this is just natural disaster shit. I mean, they hit a water main over by us. It was probably 2-3 years ago. But they hit a water main over by us and we lost water for
And congratulations, like 2 days. You can no longer import a Berkey because they hate you.
Yep. So you can still buy them. You can still make them. But you got to find them all internal now.
And
price definitely went up.
If you're going into the outdoors, especially in the summer, if you were leaving the house, even for an hour, 2 hour hike, if you were leaving with less than a gallon of water in your pack, you are wrong. Mm-hmm. This is the desert. I'm sorry, you're not drinking cactus juice. Take your water.
Everything wants to kill you here.
Yeah.
Including the sun.
Cactus juice. That's fucking funny.
Yeah, a good friend of mine, Tony Nestor, probably the leading desert survival guy in the last 20 years, he says, carry water.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy for desert survival, you know?
And it's easy to carry water. It's easy enough with the Hydro Flasks and Camelbacks and cool fucking cups and everything that they make. Like, there's no reason you shouldn't have water with you at all times. And a minimum, like a bare minimum, I'll carry water is my 32-ounce Hydro Flask. That is a bare fucking minimum. It's a liter of water.
We have those gallon ones. Yep. And the Hydro Flask makes – well, it's not – I guess it's not a gallon. What is it?
It's 2 liters.
Yeah.
2 liters, yeah.
So. Yeah, my loadout for a day hike is a 3 liter Camelback and 2 1-liter bottles.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's my minimum. That's a gallon and a quarter I'm carrying.
Yeah, you want a lot. And water's heavy, we know that, but make sure you're storing water in your truck. I mean, I've got a 2.5 gallon tank that I keep, you know, behind the rear seat. I always at least have my 1 liter. During the summertime, I'm always rolling with a cooler in the back seat, especially going to training. I always have my little, I call it my lunch pail cooler,
yep.
But it's like one of those big heavy duty, like Yeti style freaking coolers. I've got that thing full of ice and water and yep. drinks and just staying cool. I will never forget, probably the time I used or gave away the most water, which is, I do like to help people, but sometimes I want people to suffer. And I was headed north on the I-17, and there was a big accident, which is very, very common for the I-17. And so place is shut down. You don't know for how long. You don't know if I'm going to stay here for 45 minutes or 4.5 fucking hours. You have no idea how long you're going to sit here. So I'm kicking back. Sun's going down. It was fucking hot as fuck. So I'm like, well, everyone's cars are starting to overheat. We've been sitting there for probably 40, 45 minutes. I'm like, all right, fuck this. Turn off the engine, hop in the back of the truck, pop out my little umbrella. I'm sitting, I pop out my little camp chair. I'm in the bed of my truck, kind of amongst a bunch of targets and shit. I got my little camp chair. I'm sitting up. That way I can still kind of see out. Pop open my umbrella. I'm just chilling, you know, enjoying the sunset. And I'm drinking fucking water from my cooler. And this guy comes up and he's like, hey, man. How's it going? That's good. That's good. It's like, you know anything about this? I'm like, don't know fucking nothing, dude. He's like, man, we've been here for like 45 minutes. I'm like, yeah, yeah. He's like, dude, I'm starting to get kind of low on fuel. I'm like, well, that sucks. You know, like, this is why you should fucking drive around the top tank, because I can sit here with my fucking air conditioner running all night if I want, but there's no point to it, so I went ahead and shut off my engine. He's like, yeah. Also, like, we ran out of water a few minutes ago, and I go, yeah, who's in your car? He's like, oh, it's me, my wife, got a couple little kids, had a baby, you know. And he's like, yeah, we're out of water. I'm like, man, how much water do you guys have? He's like, well, we just had a couple of, like, water bottles. I'm like, you mean like the plastic water bottles? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, it's fucked up. You know, you fucked up big time. He's like, do you have any extra water? And I'm like, I tell you what, dude. Because you have kids, I'm giving you water. If you were another adult male, I wouldn't give you shit. You know? I'm like, you're a fucking grown adult. This is a fucking desert. You left the house going anywhere. We're just going, you know, we're just driving up a quick little trip up to it. I'm like, nah, that's where it all starts.
Yeah.
That's where it all starts, buddy.
Every emergency starts with, it'll just be a minute.
It'll just be a minute. So I'm like, there you go, dude. So yeah, I gave him a bunch of fucking water. I knew I had plenty to get me through. So I'm like, here you go, dude. But I'm like, don't be fucking, you know, I'm like, you see all these people? I go, here's the problem, dude. See all these people? They're now watching me give you water. And what do you think's going to happen next? As soon as they fucking run out of water, they get thirsty. I'm going to be asked for water. This is where I have to start shooting people. Luckily, it wasn't much longer, about 15 more minutes or so, and they were able to squeeze us all past the big fucking accident or whatever. But that was just like a reminder to me where I'm like, man, you're a father. You're responsible for taking care of other humans, and you went anywhere in the desert, far away from your home, with 2 little plastic bottles of water. You have 2 little kids and your wife. You're supposed to protect. And now you have to ask another guy for water. Fucking lame, dude.
Yeah, the same thing happened to me. I was going out to see John months ago in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And I was literally left from here to go meet him. And a massive fucking whatever happened. And we were stuck there at like 3:30 in the afternoon. For miles, it was backed up. So I just turned the car off. I went in the back seat. I had some food.
Mm-hmm.
That I keep busted it open. I had like 3 gallons of water back there, and I just literally put my seat back, watched a fucking movie. Yeah. I looked up on the news that it said it was going to be like 3.5 hours till anyone got off this bit of highway.
I got a good couple movies here.
Yeah, right, I was on. Like, fuck yeah. Movie on the dash. Yep. I got water. I got food. I'm chilling.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else is like losing their fucking minds in the lanes next to me, like, it's so fucking hot. How long are we going to be here? And I'm like, I'm just fucking chilling, guys. Mm-hmm. Watch a movie. Fucking drink some water. Oh, wait, you don't have any, dumbass. food.
And it really is amazing to me how many people roll around here without enough water. I mean, you see it all the time. I don't get it generally. I always have water all the time, but it's like even just generally in the summertime here in Arizona, how many people
go hiking without South water. Mountain or Camelback, oh, and it's inevitable. You see the person in shorty shorts and a tank top and flip-flops and their little 16-ounce Aquafina bottle. Yep. And that's it.
And it's half full. You'll put that in your fucking body.
Yeah.
There's another one, and I teach this in survival courses. The number one fucking container for water is your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Put it in your body. So the last thing I kind of have on my list of preparation, you guys may have some more, but is don't forget about your animals.
Yep.
You know, I can tell you what, like keeping our chickens alive in the summertime, we lost two last summer. Keeping them alive in the summertime is a full-time fucking job.
Yeah.
We have to put ice out for them in the morning. We run a solar-powered fan as well as an electrical-powered fan. They have a full fucking shade covering.
And chickens are pretty hardy animals.
They're pretty fucking hardy, but when it's 110, 115, and they don't get a break for months, I mean, they'll just fucking die.
They just keel over.
So we give them, like, frozen blueberries in the morning. We freeze water, ice cubes. We put we have this big, like, hardy, I don't even know what it is, it's like a livestock container of water. We put it in our chest freezer. We freeze it. It's a giant ice block. It's like fucking 4 inches thick. And we go put it in their shade structure, and it's completely thawed out within a few hours. But it stays pretty cold for a little while. And they just sit there and drink that stuff, right?
They stand on it.
They stand in it because birds cool themselves off in their feet. So they'll stand on the ice. They'll stand in the cold water. They stand in the shade. We make sure we go in there and till up their ground so they can kick around in the ground and get to the cooler ground beneath it. And because it's constantly shaded and the sun never hits inside, then the ground doesn't get as hot. But, like, there's a lot you have to do for your animals. Your dogs, they're going to need more water. I mean, our Big Z, man, when he's outside, he just fucking drinks water. He's got a huge freaking heavy water bowl outside, and he'll drink the whole damn thing in a day, whereas in the wintertime, we fill it up every few days, maybe. In the summertime, that thing's got to be filled up. He needs water inside. Your animals, your livestock, pets, whatever, they need to be taken care of as well. Your dogs need to be brushed. You got to get all the extra hair off of them, you know.
And for the love of God, if you can't go barefoot on the pavement, they can't have their paws on the pavement.
Yeah, dude, don't take your dog for a fucking walk when it's 115 degrees and you're burning their little fucking paws. You think, this is the only time I have to exercise them. Then get them some little fucking boots and make them wear them and take them for a walk with the little fucking protective boots on. But around here, man, you will burn shit. Yep. You will fuck things up. You will hurt animals here.
If you do anything in the summer with your dog on pavement, you should have boots for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a great thing about living across the street from a park is, you know, Z-Dog gets to run across there and play around in the grass. It's nice and cool. But you know, it's important to don't forget your animals, you know, and that's all of them, even the ones that live inside. If it gets crazy hot, say your air conditioner goes out or whatever, what are you going to do for the animals inside? You may have to relocate them to a different room, get them better shade, whatever it is. You know, steal, you know, words from my dad, but they can't do anything without you. So you got to take care of your animals. So that's what I have for topics on heat prep. Anything else we can really think of?
I had everything.
Stock up on beer. Keep it cold.
Yeah.
Don't run out of beer in the summertime. That's like capital crime.
I would say just stock up on some dry foods, right? Because it's like, let's say shit just goes out, electricity, AC, your fridge, whatever. And it's like you might lose all that food before someone could get out to you to fix it. And if you don't have a backup method, maybe that's not achievable for you. Have some fucking dry foods, some peak meals or whatever. That way you can kind of – obviously, I know you can go to the fucking store. This isn't the end of the world. You can go to the fucking McDonald's if you want. If you want to be gross.
What? McDonald's?
McDonald's.
Is that the Irish McDonald's? The McDonald's?
Yeah, McDonald's. That's the better one. But you get what I'm saying. It's nice to just have some shit there, you know. And if it's perishable stuff, it's gone.
Yeah.
Sucks when you lose a lot of fucking meat. Elk meat or something like that.
Yeah, you lose. I mean, that's something to think about even like, you know, on your freezers. I mean, if you're going to go out of town. This almost actually literally happened to us last year. We our freezer is hooked into a GFCI outlet, which is hooked into, you know, a couple other outlets in the house. And we had it pop. And I didn't realize that the freezer was hooked into that same outlet. And so we went on a trip, like a camping trip or something. And we came back and I was like, I got to fix that fucking outlet. And I was like, shit, why isn't the freezer on? Luckily, because it's pretty well shaded because it is outside. It's pretty well shaded and it's very fucking frozen. Everything in there was still good. But we had like 3 or 4 packs of meat on top that had started to thaw out. And then all the ice on top had thawed out. So remember, it drained down the bottom.
Yeah.
I had to pull everything out, chip. I probably spent 2 fucking hours with a chisel and a hammer chipping fucking ice out. It was miserable. Got it all fucking chipped out and everything, pulled it all out, stacked all the meat back in there, got everything good to go again. And that was a pain in the ass. So don't forget, man, it may not be a bad idea to consider, you know, a battery backup system for your house, especially attached. You can get it where it just attaches to certain breakers or certain outlets. Those battery backup systems, like the Generac ones, they're not very fucking expensive. You know, a couple $1,000 and you can literally battery backup all the necessary items in your house. So if you leave and then power goes out, you don't come home to, you know, a ruined meat and a disgusting fucking refrigerator because everything went bad.
Yeah, that shit is super fucking shitty. Mm-hmm. You lose like a whole meat, whole freezer of meat or something like that. Not only is it gross as hell, but...
Yeah. Yeah, that's hundreds or thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, with fucking cost of meat, shit, if we lost... You know, we've still got tons of our elk in there. If we lost all that, that would be devastating.
Be absolutely tragic, devastating. Yeah.
Now, don't forget, getting hot, start prepping. Here's some tips. If we missed a tip you think we really ought to put in the show, info@trainingaz.com is how to get a hold of us. Fitness moment with Drew.
So we'll go right back into this about prepping for summer. If you are doing any type of physical activity outside or even just going to the gym, you have to double your water intake, if not more, for summertime. Plus, if you know that you're going to have a hard workout, you should be prehydrating at least a couple days beforehand. Or if you're having a long run that you need to do, you should be hydrating a couple days beforehand. And don't forget about salt tablets. We carry, Salt licks? Licks, I think, yeah, or sticks.
The liquid IV is good.
Salt sticks, just I think stuff is what like they call them.
Yeah, so liquid IV is awesome. Hold on, I have it in my purse real quick.
Oh, God.
No, uh-oh.
Don't look in that purse.
I'm a huge fan of Celtic salt.
Don't get bit.
Oh.
It is, so they're salt sticks, and they're electrolyte stick. They're little chewies that we get from REI. I think you could probably just order them anywhere. But, man, in the summertime, even on the range, we're popping these things like crazy. We'll buy 4 or 5 bottles, and each of us go through them during the summertime. So don't forget, it's not just about water. You also have to put the electrolytes and sodium back into your body. So that's all I have.
Oh, yeah. All right. Fitness Moment with Drew brought to you by MRC, McKellar Running Club Phoenix. Monday night run, 6:30 at Chupacabra Tap Room in Mesa, Arizona. Wednesday night run, 6:30 at Dad's Fine Eatery in Scottsdale. Make sure that you come out to run with us. Don't be scared if you don't run really well. You don't have to be a freaking track star to come out. You can come out and just hang out with us, run a little bit. And we always drink beer afterwards. So that's a super important part of that. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Get hosting information via email, info@trainingaz.com. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and MRC Phoenix. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. If you have never looked at their stuff, look at their stuff. They do so much. Transcription, publication, media services, podcasting. There's tons of stuff they're up to. Next week, IFAC Lifesaver Part 4. We're going to pick up where we left off. Until then, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.